and Eve, and we're coming from Awaken Coach Institute and just more globally Awaken. And this is our inaugural podcast. So in this podcast, Eve and I are having a really warm, rich conversation about what it means to belong and what it means to be part of grace. And so building communities of grace is the core of what Awaken rests on. And so we're having a conversation about what those two values mean to us and what our highest hopes are for what we're creating here at Awaken and Awaken Coach Institute.
All right. Great to talk to you today, Christy. I'm really excited.
I am too. It's so good to be with you, Eve. This is it was such a great idea to start this podcast. I really appreciate you being so proactive about, hey, why don't we get the wisdom of the Awaken community out there in the world, the kinds of conversations we have every day, and let some people in on the, what we like to talk about.
Yeah, and I think like for me also what has been driving this idea is mainly that in Awaken settings, it's just such a special vibe, and it's really hard to explain to people outside how it feels like, what's the experience like. And I think a podcast is actually a really amazing way to give people a glimpse of not only the conversations that we have, but like to really sense into the spaces that we create when we're with one another, between alumni, but also in our faculty. And so, yeah, today I would love to talk to you more about your vision of creating communities of grace, because I think that's, as far as I understood, the main driver of you launching this business. So maybe you can share a little bit more about what communities of grace are and what it actually means for you to be in a community of grace.
Yeah, the words community of grace are so rich in meaning for me. I think a lot of things that I do in my life come out from of my own need. They're what I want for myself. They're out of longing. They're sometimes out of wounding. And for me, growing up, I often felt very othered. Like I was just different from other people, even in my own home, at school, and just kind of a very shaky feeling of what my place was in the world. And when I first studied to be a coach, it was like my whole worldview changed. I came from a worldview of reward and punishment based on your achievements and your behavior. And you, there was this kind of constant pushing and striving, and you had to prove that you weren't a bad person, that you were doing good things. And it was a very painful and exhausting way to live. And I knew that I didn't want to pass that on to my kids, which is why I'm so thankful that I studied coaching when my kids were really young. And I wish I had started 10 years earlier, like before I even had kids. So I was so terrified of passing down all kinds of beliefs that are just not helpful to people. And so I remember when I first studied coaching, it was just so exciting, so exciting. I was just like, wow, I listened to someone for an hour and they tell me something that they've never told anyone ever. And they would say that regularly, like, why am I telling you all these things? I haven't even told my best friend. I haven't even told my spouse or my partner. Like, I've only told you. And on the one hand, that felt like this, such a great honor. And also really scary, like, wait, I just put the sign coach over my head and all of a sudden people are sharing unimaginable truth and wisdom and sorrow and everything with me. And so that felt like such a sacred, sacred privilege. And at the same time, I felt so sad about it. I remember there was a time when I had two best friends who were both talking to me and they weren't telling their stories to each other. And that really broke my heart because I knew that I would be spending about 10 hours with each of them over a period of time. It wasn't like a really quick get. That's not the kind of coaching I do. I don't do like set a goal and achieve it and then we're done. It's much more of a depth coaching where people are making really natural, deep, aligned shifts to be somebody else, will be themselves, not their persona. But I thought, I want to create something where these two people can talk to each other. And so how can I expand that so that what happens in these conversations between the two of us becomes a way of life? And not that I want people to go oversharing everything in their life to everyone who doesn't deserve it out there on the street, but I do love it when I can see that because of the conversation someone had with me, that they have a better relationship with their partner, with their daughter, with their grandson, with the person next door. And that desire that I have is so challenging because it means, what do I do with my daughter and my husband and my neighbor? And it's really hard. Like, once I got rid of this whole judgment and rewards and punishments and that kind of thing worldview, the only thing really left is to love. And loving people is so hard. Like, when that's your only job, you really get confronted with all your anger and frustrations and sadness and hopes and dreams and fears and the whole thing. When you want to be loving, that's the crucible for life. And so it starts with this really deep love for myself, this person. Like, I'm the boss of me. I'm responsible for my emotions and my thoughts and all the stories that I make up that aren't true, and being willing to be witnessed by other people in love who are willing to say, that's a thought you're having. That's a belief you're having. It happened today between you and me, between some people on our inner team. Like, And we, I don't want to be let to get away with stuff that's not true. I want to have the kinds of relationships that are truthful and trusting and loving and real. And so that's what we're doing at Awaken. And so going back to my story about coaching one-on-one and then gradually coaching groups, I was terrified. I took a course from a lovely coach named Jeannie Sullivan. And she taught me, instructional design and how to walk people through trainings in a way that would make deep, sustainable mindset changes and life changes. And that was really impactful. She and I were in coaching school together and I was a member of her final project. And I remember starting my first group session. So in Jeannie's class, everybody was supposed to come out with a workshop. And so everyone else who took the class with me came up with a 1-hour workshop, like normal people. And I came up with a 2-day forgiveness seminar, which was so so beyond, so over my head. And I think I was kind of calling myself the forgiveness coach back in the day. And I was reading, I had this entire bookshelf full of books about forgiveness and what it means and how it relates to truthfulness and on and on. And so I had developed this whole 2-day thing. And then when my 6 participants showed up, this was in person in Kenya, and I got so sick. I was like puking my guts out and had a fever the morning of my workshop because I wanted so badly for everybody to just love each other and learn how to forgive and learn how to do all the things. And then it was almost like I was pouring my whole life's learning into these poor 6 guinea pigs for this weekend program. And I made myself sick doing it. So that was sort of my first foray. But I did learn from that to chillax a little bit and to slow down and just like, it's okay to do the 1-hour workshop. And so I did my next foray into this group stuff, the community building, was something that I called the heroine's quest. And so once again, I almost made myself sick because I just am always doing stuff that I don't know how to do. For whatever reason, that's the way I do things. And so I didn't know how to use tech. It was back on Skype at the time. And I was living in Africa, in Kenya, with terrible internet and so many fears about what if the call drops and then what do I do? And so I hired my coach and we planned out all these contingencies and how I would still be professional and run this group. And so I did the scary thing, and there were 6 women in my first online group. And once again, it was just gorgeous what happens in a group. There's something about being in community and being seen, not just by one person who you're paying to listen to you, which is kind of a crass way to put coaching. Obviously, it's a lot deeper than that. But there's something about coming together and being seen with 5 or 6 other people and sharing your full story and being accepted. That's so powerful. And so part of what I was doing in those early groups about forgiveness or about women's, journeys into your fullness of yourself was I was really paying attention to the interactions between community members. And I really went into such a rabbit hole. I studied group dynamics at college, and that was just it is still my passion, is how do people relate to each other, even if they're really, really different. And so just watching how these women in the heroine's quest were opening up and how I could use my body and use my language and use my presence to invite that and allow it, not to force it, but to let this beautiful thing emerge. And I just kept going deeper and deeper into it until I was like, I need to teach other people how to listen to each other. I can't lead all the pods, but I can teach people, other people, how to use their body and how to use their presence and how to use their language and how to use their listening so that they can do the same thing at home or at work or at their places of worship or wherever they are, that they can learn to be the kind of person that invites community. And so my thought was, one of the ways I can do that is to teach people how to coach. And so I wrote curriculum for 3 different coach training schools and taught for those schools and did all the things. And it was still really frustrating because I was like, anytime I try to pass on what I'm teaching or get other faculty members to also get what I'm doing here, I wasn't able to pass it on. It was always someone else's program, someone else's school, someone else's idea, and they just wanted me to follow the track and write the course. And they wanted it to be more transactional, less soul-filled, less spirit-filled. And I just kept getting frustrating and not doing anything about it, but getting frustrated. Until one time I just got upset enough and needed more for myself. And right during the middle of the whole world shutting down in March of 2020, I was in the middle of getting myself, my daughter, my sister, and my mom all back to our respective countries. I was stuck in an airport in Tel Aviv, and I just thought, you know what? Something's changing in the world, and I'm going to do this big dream. And I came home, and the next week I launched Awaken Coach Institute. I had so many thousands of pages written on my computer and lots of materials that I wanted to teach. And it was like an explosion. I finally got to like build what I wanted to build. And so it was in 2020, I hired a business coach, Eleni Lee, who's gorgeous and amazing, and everyone should hire her. And I hired my first virtual assistant, whose name is Mia, and she lives in Argentina. She's lovely. And the three of us figured it out. We just built this beautiful, beautiful course. And in 2020, I launched Awaken Coach Institute with a very tiny team, and it's been community since the beginning, because I invited at least 20, probably closer to 30 fellow coaches to come and record videos with me long before I had a good mic or good internet or anything. And we just had conversations to build the coach training materials. But to me, Awaken Coach Institute has never been about getting people an ICF accredited coaching training. That's a method. That's a thing that gets us to where we're going. And where we're going is community. And so before you even join the course, you're starting to get the vibe of what it is in the community through email exchanges and WhatsApp exchanges and things that don't seem like they would be particularly personal, but we share a lot. And from the first day of class, we start learning to love each other. And there's deliberate ways, things that show up immediately in the first class that are really helpful, from my huge stack of community building books that I'm always reading. So for example, one of the first things I do in class is I ask for help. I always find some reason why I can't figure something out and somebody needs to show up and pitch in, and they always do. And that creates a really beautiful dynamic very subtly. We have ways that we start sharing gently but surely at a soul level. So before anybody knows that you're a hairdresser or you're a Pulitzer Prize winner or you're the vice president of oncology at a big pharma company, we don't know that stuff about each other on day one, but we know a lot about our human hopes and dreams and fears and anxieties. And there's this connection. And by the time people learn society's concepts about who's more important than who, it's impossible to think that way anymore. We just connect as humans. And everybody's allowed to dissent, to say their own opinion, to disagree, and to be delightfully themselves, whether they're hard of hearing or had a brain injury or are autistic. Some of those things are part of my story as well. And we learn to lean on each other So it's about community more than it's about coach training for me at Awaken.
The voices.